Proverbs 28, verse number 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Now, as we think about this idea of wisdom and security, I'm reminded of a statement made by one of our teachers in college. I think it was Brother Judson Mitchell, but I, top of my head, I can't say for sure who that is. But he got up and made this statement. It really sunk into me, and I've used it quite a bit since then. It's one of my favorite statements from college. It goes like this: money is the cheapest of all of God's blessings. I think it's a good way to look at it, because sometimes we put money at the top, but really money is the cheapest of all of God's blessings. And many times we want to quantify God's blessings solely in dollar and cents. So if someone says, God is blessing me, it's immediately the mind goes, well, how much money did you get? That's almost immediately how our mind goes. Even those of us who would think that we're spiritual, it kind of goes that way. It just seems to be a natural, maybe not right, but it does seem to be a natural direction. So we quantify his blessings, his being God's blessings, based on just dollars and cents. Yet I would think this, let me just say it, and then I think we would agree on this. Those who live wisely, according to God's principles, accumulate, by fact of living wisely, they accumulate great blessings, even if those blessings don't directly translate into the accumulation of wealth. So if we live according to the Bible, you're going to accumulate blessings. It may not equal accumulation of wealth, but there will be an accumulation of blessing. I think that if we went around the room, probably most of us know someone. If you've been saved for a while and have interactions with other saved people, especially maybe someone older than you, you probably can think of someone who lived a life, lived for the Lord, maybe didn't have a lot to show for it, didn't have necessarily a real nice house or real nice things, but you knew they had God's blessings in their life. You knew that they got in touch with the Lord, they knew something about the Lord, and they seemed to be blessed of the Lord. Often it's because of the joy, maybe the peace, the contentment. I can think of people I knew that way. And so many of God's blessings have nothing to do with the accumulation of wealth. We may accumulate the blessing, but it doesn't mean we're going to accumulate wealth. Let me give you a couple of things to write before we get into the first big point. One of the greatest blessings that comes from living wisely is the blessing of security. Now, the interesting thing is hard to define how this blessing is. It seems to be common, but if you're living for the Lord, but yet unique in each life. So this security, it comes from the Lord, and it comes because we're living wisely. It's hard to explain, but it's easy to know when you don't have it. You get real insecure, real fearful about things. A lack of confidence in life and the situations of life. Now, we're not talking about being just putting your head in the sand and ignoring life. We're talking about living for the Lord that brings a security. Even, okay, you might, you have who you want to run, who you want to win this election. Not this particular one, because this one already happened. But if there's an election coming up, you're saying, this is the guy that America needs. But if he doesn't win, it's not like you lose your mind over it, because our confidence is in the Lord. There's a security about it. And so you say, boy, you know, I really need to get this raise, or I really need this to happen. But if it doesn't happen, we don't just go crazy about it, because we have a confidence in the Lord. But if that confidence isn't there, if that security isn't there, you know that. You know the uneasiness within, the fearfulness, the fretfulness that comes in. So the security we're talking about that comes from, it's hard to really explain exactly, but it's easy to know when you don't. Typically, the security, it results in calmness and confidence and courage. That's what it results in. But it comes before those things. So it's not the calmness, it's not the confidence, it's not the courage. It's the thing that we have that helps us to be calm, helps us to be confident, helps us to have courage in those situations. And there's a security that we have from the Lord because we're living by biblical principle. And that's what we're talking about tonight. So I want to give you four ways to look at this, maybe four applications or four ideas about it that might help us understand. Now, the goal is to encourage you to live by biblical principle. Now, when we talk about that, a lot of people say, well, if I live according to the Bible, will I have all the money I need? Don't know. But that's not what we're talking about. Well, will I get the raise? Don't know. Will I get this provision? I don't know. But that's the cheapest or not the most important blessing. What we're talking about is something that's much more important, something the Lord does in our lives as we order our life according to His Word. There's a security that comes in our life. It's hard to identify. It's hard to quantify. But when it's not there, you know it. And when it is there, you know it. And that's what we're talking about, this security that comes from living wisely. So let me give you four aspects of it tonight. Number one is this. Living wisely provides security in our circumstances. Now here's what I mean by that. Let's look at the Bible. Look at 28 verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a lion, regardless of what's going on around them. Look down at verse number 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Notice, the money issue, or the money situation isn't the issue. It's where you're at with the Lord, whether or not it's upright or you're perverse. Look at verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. Similar idea there. Look at verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now, that does not necessarily mean physically. So if someone's, let's say, 500 pounds, boy, they must really trust the Lord. That is not, it doesn't equate that way. Nor does the idea is the fat means blessed. That's in a biblical description, being fat means to be blessed of the Lord. So we put our trust in him. That's where the blessing, that's where the security comes from. Verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So living wisely provides security in our circumstances. Now, I want you to think about this next part. Because I think sometimes we struggle with this next part here. When we are seeking to live by biblical principle, it does not mean that we will be sinless. Which is, that may be our goal, but the reality is you're not going to be sinless. And you're not always going to get it right. Well, I think we'll get to this in a moment, I think, in one of these points. But you're not always going to get it right. So we're not talking about that everything is always exactly the way it should be. Because if that's the case, you're not going to have security because you know you're going to blow it sometimes. Even if you're trying to get it right. So trying this idea of seeking to live by biblical principle, it does not mean that we will be sinless. Sometimes, and I think that we could probably have testimonies about this, sometimes we can be absolutely convinced that we are right and still be wrong. Have you ever done that before? No, I know this is right. I know this is right. Oh, wait a minute. No, I guess it isn't. And so that's the reality of it. Not that you're trying to be wrong. You're trying to be right. But you're not always going to be right. So when we think about this, and we're going to apply it back to our circumstances in a moment, but I want you to give you this understanding first. So when you think about it, yet, okay, even though we're not going to be sinless, we can always seek to be blameless. And the idea of blameless is not that we never mess up, make a mistake that way. I'm talking about on purpose. Okay, that we're our desire, our goal is to do right. But we may not always get it right. So we seek to be blameless. In other words, we're not purposely trying to do wrong. So this is right. Oh, wrong. But my goal, my intention, my thought was to be right. My desire was to be right. I wasn't trying to do it wrong. I wasn't trying to go against the Bible. But I thought this is what the Lord wanted. I thought this is what the Bible taught. I was mistaken. Doesn't make it right. It's still wrong. But you can be blameless in it because your goal, your desire, your purpose was to be right in it. Now, here's why we're talking about this. When it is in our heart to live wisely, then we have confidence that our circumstances are not a result of God's judgment on our sins, but rather His working out His will in our lives. That's where the security comes. You see, if it's in my heart to do right, and the Lord points out something in my life that is wrong, then what am I going to do? Change! There we go! Because that's my heart. Okay, if this is what the Lord wants, and I want to do what the Lord wants, but I think it's over here, and I'm going this way, and all of a sudden I realize, oops, nope, that's not right. This is right. And so I change, which there's a word we call that, what? Repentance. I repent, and now I'm starting doing what the Lord wants. Now, the Lord doesn't have to come down hot and heavy on me because I have a desire in my life. I'm not like Jonah running. It's not like God says Nineveh, and I say, yes, sir, here we go, Tarshish, yep. No, it's not that way. My heart is to do what the Lord wants. I'm just not understanding what it is. And so when things are going in my life and things are difficult in my life, I don't sit there and go like this. Oh, does God hate me? Is God judging me? Because here's my attitude. Lord, you don't got to judge me. Just point it out. I'll change. I want to do what God wants me to do. That's my heart. I'm not telling you I'm perfect. I'm just telling you I'm surrendered. That's my desire. I want to do what you tell me to do. And so when things aren't as they should be, if some great tragedy comes in my life or some great difficulty, I don't sit there fret and fear. I simply say, okay, the Lord's trying to teach me something. The Lord's involved here. There's a security that comes in those type of circumstances when you are purposely trying to live wisely. I think Job would be a good example of that. Job had some tragedy come in his life, but Job didn't lose his integrity because Job's heart was to do what's right. In fact, that was his argument with his friends. They said, oh, you've committed some sin. You really done something bad. And I'm kind of paraphrasing. Here's what Job said. Point it out. Don't just say, you've done sin. What sin have I done? And they really couldn't find any. Now, does that mean Job had no sin? No. That means what Job was saying is, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. And that's how Job partially made it through this whole ordeal, because it was in his heart to do what the Lord wanted. And so there's a certain security that comes that way. Now, if I were to give you a kind of an illustration maybe to help explain a little bit better, it's like this. It's like telling the truth. There's a security when you tell people the truth. You don't have to worry about what you tell the next person. Because if I tell every person the truth, I don't have to remember and have like a app on my phone, like lie tracker. Okay, what did I tell them? Wait a minute. Before I talk to you, okay, yeah, now I remember what I told you. All I got to do is tell them the truth. And there's a security in that. Because, well, did you know what you said so-and-so? No, I don't exactly remember. But I can tell you, it was the truth, whatever I told them. Sometimes you'll have people come back on you. You know, 5 years ago, you said blah, 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 blah. And you can honestly say, no, I didn't. Well, how do you know what you said 5 years ago? I don't. But what you're saying I said, I wouldn't have said, because what you're saying is a lie, and I wouldn't have lied about it. So there's a security in it. Again, we're not talking about perfection. We're not talking about you never sin. We're talking about a blamelessness, that your desire and your purpose and your goal is to do right. And that blamelessness provides a security in these type of circumstances. So this security, now watch this, this security doesn't come from an absence of the hurts or the heartaches in life. So we're not saying that there's no negative circumstances. What we're saying is, this security comes from an acceptance of them, because we know that our desire is to live for the Lord, and we just say, well, the Lord must be doing something to teach us or grow us or something, so we have confidence and security in the Lord. So living wisely provides security in our circumstances. There's a second area of security. Go back with me to Proverbs 28. Look with me at verse 2. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresses the poor, this is verse 3, is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. There's a similar teaching in all of those we'll see in a moment. Look at verse 12. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. Now look at verse 15. As a roaring lion and as a ranging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. And that's kind of the opposite of what he just was saying. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. So now there's another area that living wisely provides security in, and that is number two is this: living wisely provides security in our influence. Now give me a moment, because this might strike you as weird, that point, but it is common, and it probably I would say commendable, that you want your life to make an impact on others. I think as a believer, you'd say, I want my life to encourage others, to help others want to do right. I think if your heart, okay, this is the idea of living wisely, so you have a heart to do what's right. I'm not saying you always do it, but you want to, if you knew what it was, you'd do it. So if that's you, if someone came to you and said, your testimony is a stumbling block. Others are struggling in their Christian life because of the way you're living. I think that would hurt you. I think you'd say, whoa, wait, why? What am I doing? How am I a stumbling block? I don't want to do that. How am I hurting them? How are they struggling because of what I'm doing? Let me know, because if I can change it, I change it. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to cause others to struggle. And so we want our life to have an influence, a positive influence. We want our life to have meaning, our life to have purpose. We want to positively impact and influence others for good. As a believer who loves the Lord, sold out to the Lord, trying to live according to the Word of God, I think that's each of our desires. If that describes you, I think that's your desire. Now, sometimes, though, we feel like we're losing that. That, you know, yeah, Pastor, that's how I feel, but really? I mean, who do I influence? I have very little influence. I mean, I'm not like so-and-so. I don't really influence people. And so this is where that security comes in. It may seem that only those who are the loudest or the flashiest, kind of maybe stretch the rules of English on that word, the flashiest are those who are influencing others. Sometimes we just feel like, well, you know, I'm not like that, but that person comes in and he's, you know, there's some people, okay, all of a sudden when the doors open and they come in, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I mean, he brings the party with him. He's outgoing, he's gregarious, boy, everyone gathers around him, he's loud. I don't mean in a negative way. Some people are loud and negative, but I don't mean this in a negative. I'm talking about they're just outgoing, and they're flashy in that they're not a wallflower. You know they're there. They're maybe they dress nice, or they have some talent about some things. They're a flashy type of personality. And we think, boy, those people influence, those people are going to impact. But when we're living for the Lord, there's a security that regardless of personality, regardless of talent, regardless of ability, regardless of those type of things, I can still have an influence in my life. Now, when we think about being loud and being flashy, I think we also ought to understand that sometimes our desire to influence causes us to think that that's what we got to do. We got to be loud and flashy. And that's not what we have to. If you want to influence people, live for Jesus. You don't have to be something you're not. And you don't have to worry about whether or not everyone, you know, if you walk in a room and not everyone gathers around to hear you're speaking some oracle from on high like that. If that doesn't happen, don't say, well, how can I get people to listen to me? Live for Jesus. The Lord will bring the right people across your path. Now, some people may be influence 100, some people may influence 1, but the one you influence may end up influencing 1,000. And so by that in 1, you actually influence more. So that's a security in that way. Now, let me give you also the flip side again about not trying to be loud or flashy just to influence, but rather living for the Lord. So understand it this way. It is possible that a good intention, like wanting to influence people, can result in bad behavior such as bragging or self-promotion. Because if you're not by nature just a gregarious person, pretty soon trying to influence people, now it's all about you. And you think, if they're not focused on me, I can't help them. Well, if they're focused on you, you can't help them. They need to be focused on Christ. That's why it's not about you. It's not about you being braggart or you being a self-promotional type person. So again, we think about this idea about how my life can influence others, security, knowing my life can have a positive influence on others. Believers can be confident that living wisely will have a positive influence on those around us. Now, you know, I joke around a lot being competitive. And really, I'm not competitive. It's Paul Becker who's competitive. And he brings the bad part of that out in me. So I'm really not. Okay, maybe I am. But I'm a little competitive. But, you know, not everything's a competition. That's hard to say, you know. Not everything's a competition. It should be, but it's not. Not everything's a competition. And so sometimes we think we're always competing with others because, well, look, they have, I'm sure you're not this way, but this is how the world is. They have 1,000 followers on Twitter. I only have 36. So I got to start doing something to get people to follow me. That's how people think. People think, I got to do something so that people look at me. And that's not what you do. Just live for Jesus. And your life will influence others. Don't worry about who knows about it. Say, well, will I ever get that book deal? Maybe not. Will I ever get to speak on Oprah? Maybe not. Live for Jesus, live wisely, you will influence people for the Lord. There's a security that we should have in this. Now, it may not influence everyone. Because not everyone wants to live for the Lord. So I'm not saying everyone's going to be influenced by you living for the Lord. So it may not influence everyone, but it will typically influence those who want to live wisely. When they see your life and they're saying, you know, that's how I want to live. I want to live for the Lord. I want to have a desire to win souls. I want a desire to have my prayers answered. I want to be able to read the Bible and get some things out of it. I want to help others and love others and care for others. I want to be involved in ministry. I want my life to be surrendered to the Lord. When they see you doing that, now you begin influencing them. Even without all of the glamour and the glitz and all of the other things that we sometimes think we need. Now, I'll give you the final statement about this. This security frees us from the pressure of lifting ourselves up in order to be noticed. Now, this may not to you seem a big thing, but I tell you, a lot of people struggle with this. Because they think, if I don't lift myself up, no one will notice me. But our job is not to lift ourselves up. Our job is to lift up Christ. And He will use you as He sees fit. Now, sometimes our problem is what we want and what He wants isn't the same, which is why we need to be surrendered and yielded. But we live wisely. The Lord will use us. And I think, who was telling me? I think it was a missionary telling me. Now, I might butcher this illustration some. But he was telling me that these churches were reporting what they had done for the year. And this one church was really struggling. It was out in the boonies somewhere and it was really struggling. They only had one convert for the entire year. And the convert was someone like, it was like an Adoniram Judson type. It was one of those big name missionaries. That was their only convert in the year. And that missionary went off to win thousands for the Lord. And that's what we're talking about. Just live for the Lord. The Lord uses you as He sees fit. That's not an excuse, obviously, for laziness or doing less than our best. I'm just simply, you do the best you can. Live for the Lord. Let the Lord determine how He uses you in influencing others for the Lord. That's number two. So living wisely provides security in our influence. There's a sense of security. The Lord will use me as He sees fit. I don't have to brag on myself. I don't have to lift up myself. I just have to live for the Lord. And the Lord will use me as He sees fit. That brings us now to a third area of security. Go back to Proverbs 28, look with me in verse 5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Let me tell you, that's a great verse right there. There's a lot of things you understand just by living for the Lord and seeking the Lord. A lot of things start making sense that doesn't make sense to the world. The world's still trying to figure out a lot. Things to us, we're like, no, this is pretty clear. This is what the Bible says, it's pretty clear. The rich man, verse 11, 28 verse 11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. Look at verse 21. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Verse 24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. Now all these kind of work together for our third point, which is number three, is this, another area of security. Living wisely provides security in our discernment. By discernment, I'm talking about making decisions, decision making. That's what we're talking about. Living wisely provides security in our discernment. I don't think this is shocking to you, but you may not consider it as much maybe as it's as relevant or as real as it is. But this is a real situation. Decision making is what I'm talking about, the real situation. Decision making can create a lot of insecurity in people's lives. Just trying to make decisions. Trying to what does the Lord want me to do? Who should I marry? Where should I live? What kind of job? A lot of things that we say, well, yeah, you got to pray and seek the Lord. But sometimes people, they just get real insecure. They just get really at wits end and just really panic in situations like that. And the bigger the decision, the greater the insecurity can be. Now, part of it is I think we have enough knowledge to know that choices have consequences. And we are concerned about the consequences of our choices. We want good outcomes. But sometimes we're so caught up in the decision making because all we think about is the outcome, and we're trying to make every decision trying to get that outcome, and that's always going to create problems. You cannot have guaranteed outcomes. Now, if you have two choices, and this choice looks like it has a bad outcome, and this choice has a good outcome, and they're both biblical, and neither one is wrong to do, then I would choose the one that has the good outcome. But sometimes you just say, this is the outcome I want. I have some decisions, but I'm not sure which one has that outcome. And so there's a security when I live wisely because I don't have to worry about the outcome. All I have to do is, what does the Lord want me to do? Well, I might not get that outcome. You're right, you might not. But why does that matter if you're doing what the Lord wants? His outcome may be over here in your life. That may not be what the Lord wants for you. And so there's a security in our discernment and our decision making when we're trying to live wisely. We're letting the Bible dictate these things. So wisdom allows us to make decisions based on principles regardless of the outcome. And this gives us a security in the decision making process. Doesn't make it necessarily an easy process, but it gives us security. We're not staying awake at night. We don't have, I have this massive headache. I just got this decision. It's really throwing me for a loop. Let me give you this statement. I like this statement. I am no longer a prisoner to the outcome, but a servant to the principle. That's a good way to look at it. I'm not bound in some way to have a particular outcome. All I need to do is live by biblical principle. That's living wisely, living by biblical principle. So I knew somewhere we were coming to this. I might have hit it earlier in point one, so it might be a little redundant. But there are some decisions wherein it is hard to know which principles apply. Now, there are obviously some people who have more wisdom than others. But there's no one who has it all figured out. There's no one who goes through life and says, yep, this, and gets it right every time. It is in every person's life, there are times when it's hard to know which principles apply. Because sometimes there's multiple principles. You may have a decision to make, and you may find that this decision, there's four different biblical principles that control this decision. which one takes priority? Because if I go by principle one, I would make this decision. But if I go by principle two, I'd make this decision. If I go by principle three, I'd make this decision. If I go by principle four, I'd make that decision. So which principle am I supposed to go by? So it does at times become difficult. And I think there's usually answers for all that. But in that decision making, there's a certain difficulty. I agree. There are decisions when it's hard to know which principles apply or how to apply the principles that do apply. Okay, this is the principle that applies, but how do I put that principle in work in this decision? And that becomes some difficulty there. So how does this security help us? Even in these times when trying to figure out which principle apply or how to apply that principle, there's a sense of security in knowing that I'm seeking to follow God's principles and not just have my own desired outcome. In this matter of trying to make a decision, and I say, you know what, I'm not exactly sure what principle applies, but there's a certain security when I can say, Lord, whatever is the right one, I'll do. I'm not trying to pick the one that gives me what I want. And that's how some believers live. Lord, what can I obey you? Which principle can I obey you to get this? Because that's what I want. That's not how you obey the Bible. You say, Lord, I don't care what I get. I just care that it's what you want. And there's a security when we're living wisely. Because watch this. I'm not a prisoner to that outcome. I'm a servant to the principle that's the right principle. That's what I'm going to do. And that gives you a sense of security. Because I'm not bound or controlled by the outcome anymore. Now, let me give you this statement. I may not always live by principles the right way, but it is always the right way to live by principles. And that's I'm just going to live by principle. I may not always get it right. I may choose principle two, and I should have chose principle three. But Lord, I chose principle. I didn't choose outcome. And that's for the security. I wish I could say, at 54 years of age, I've always gotten it right. I wish I could say that. I really do. I cannot say that. But I can tell you this, at 54 years of age, I've always tried to do what I thought the Lord wanted me to do. There are times when I look back and said, should have chose door number three. Yep, should have. But I was trying to choose the one I thought to. We're never good judges of our own heart. Our own hearts are deceitful. It'll tell us whatever we want to tell. But the best I can tell you, never in my life have I ever said, this is what the Lord wants. Ain't going to happen because I'm going to do this because that's what I want. I don't know if I've ever done that in a broad way. Every time I've left one ministry to go to another ministry, it's always because I really, truly felt that's exactly what the Lord wanted. You know, people, when I started the church in Warren and left there and went back to Lorain to Beacon Baptist, a lot of people say, well, why would you leave a church you started to go to start a Christian school? I mean, you went from pastoring. I mean, the pinnacle. You are a pastor. I mean, that's like, you know, here's a governor, here's a president, and you are a pastor. How could you go from a pastor being way down here to principal again? I never looked at it that way, but some people do, and they say, how could you do that? I mean, here's what happened. I was sitting there, and I'm talking about trying. Now, I cannot tell you every decision I made was the right decision. I'm just telling you, I try to always make the decision I thought the Lord wanted based on principle. So we were sitting there. I was sitting in the pastor's office, Pastor Webb, at Beacon Baptist. And he had asked me to come because I'd started Christian school before and give him some pointers and thoughts and this and that. So we're talking about starting a Christian school. But the more we're talking, it was a multiple-hour interview or discussion we had. And the more we talked about it, the more I was really impressed that the Lord wanted me to come here and start this Christian school. And the more I was impressed that the Lord wanted me to come here and start a Christian school, the more I did not want to go there and start a Christian school. I don't want this, Lord. But it's hard to explain, but when you have made multiple decisions over your life and you tend to be sensitive to the Lord, you kind of know when the Lord's tugging at your heart, and I'm sitting there thinking, I mean, I'm having this conversation with Pastor Webb, and I'm having this conversation with the Lord, and there's two conversations at one time, because he's asking me questions, and I'm trying to answer his question. At the same time, I'm saying, no, Lord, it ain't happening. I ain't coming here. I don't want to come here. This isn't what I want. And the longer I'm talking to him, the longer the Lord's talking to me, and finally I say, okay, Lord, I'll do, which is really hard to have a conversation with the Lord when you're talking to someone else. I really wonder what did I say to Pastor Webb, because I was really more concerned about the Lord. So I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put a fleece out. Now, I'm not a big fleece person, but I said, this is a big decision, and Lord, I got to know this is what you want. So I said, Lord, here's what's going to happen. When we get up from this office, here's what I think's going to happen. I should say, can't tell the Lord what's going to happen. It doesn't really work that way. Here's what I think is going to happen, Lord. When we get out of this office, we'll go down this hallway. If you've never been to Beacon Baptist, it's hard to explain. But I'm going down this hallway from the office. Over here is the front door. He's going to walk me to the front door because that's kind of the polite thing to do. He's going to say bye. I'm going to say bye. I'm getting my car, and I'm heading to Warren. And if that's what happens, then I'm not coming here. If you want me to come here, when we get to that front door, when we get to the front door, he's got to stop and then direct me to another part of the building. Outside of that, I ain't coming here. Now, I'm not saying this is how you ought to pray every prayer. I'm just saying, I'm thinking of Gideon, I'm thinking of the fleece, and I'm thinking, Lord, it's got to be this clear to me. And I'm also thinking, that probably won't happen, so, okay, we got this. So we get up, blah, 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 blah. We walk up, blah, 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 blah. We're talking down the hallway. He reaches, he puts his hand, it's up one of those like breaker bar push doors. So he gets ready to open the door. He puts his hand on the bar, and I'm thinking, we're going to make it after. So here we are. We're home free. We're going. He grabs the door. He goes to push open it. And this is literally what happened. He said, Brother White, let me show you how we redid these bathrooms down here. So guess where I ended up? I ended up at Beacon Baptist. Now, can I stand here and say, I am absolutely sure it was God's will? No. But I'm absolutely sure I knew what I prayed. I know what the outcome, and I know the principle I was going by. So here's what I'm saying. Now, I can say that about going to Victory Baptist, which doesn't exist. I can talk about starting a church in Warren, or even starting this church. I can say about everything I've done. Can I say it's 100% guaranteed God's will? No. I'm not God. I can't tell you 100% what God's mind is. I can tell you there are principles to live by. If your heart is to live by principle, and you're always seeking to do that, then the Lord gives you security in the midst of all that, that you'll have, in the decision-making process, there's a security that this is, generally speaking, what the Lord wants in your life, and it brings a certain security that way. So I may not always live by principles the right way, but it's always the right way to live by principle. Not just trying to control the outcome, but trying to yield and live by principle. Here's the fourth area. That this idea of living wisely, the security that it comes. Go back with me to Proverbs 28. Look with me at verse 8. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather for him that will pity the poor. Verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. Verse 17. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit, let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his way shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that falleth after vain person shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And all these verses kind of head around it in little different ways. But here's our overall principle from these verses. Number 4 is this. Living wisely provides security in God's blessings. It's kind of what we are leading to in point 3. It's kind of culminated, I think, in point 4. There's a certain security about the Lord's blessings in your life when you're trying to live wisely. A certain security about it. Back when we were in college, in our night bus, which I think I've explained that before. It's a little different than the daytime bus. We had a night bus, and on the way back to First Baptist for the evening service, often on the way back, someone would lead us. Typically, it was Brian Miller. He would lead us in a song, maybe you heard it or not. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. I don't know if you ever heard that or not. It may not even sound like that after I sing it, but anyways. That's the song, and we would sing that, and there's a chorus it goes to. It's a couple of verses, and a chorus it goes to it. And it was always being used to be led up to to give blessings from the last week. So who has a blessing? Someone to raise their hand. Here's a blessing. And they'd say, oh, that's great. And then they'd sing that chorus. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving. And then they'd sing a chorus again. Who has a blessing? And they might take a couple of blessings. And they'd sing the chorus again. And they would do that for about 10 minutes or so. And the idea was that God is, and I'm not criticizing any of that. I'm not saying anything negative about it. But one thing, as I'm listening to it almost every Sunday, people raise their hand giving blessings. One thing that I always considered that I thought was odd, or maybe something that was lacking. The blessings were always things that they knew that God did, and they're always quantified by something that they could identify. And I got this much money, I got this thing, or this improvement. It was always some type of quantifiable way, which, again, that's good. I mean, that's why we have Thanksgiving and all that. But I thought, how many times does God do things for us, and you can't raise your hand because you don't even know all that God does? Let me tell you, I think this, most of the blessings that we receive, we are clueless of what God does. You're at the light, and the light's not changing, or someone cut in front of you, you've got to slow down. But you don't know how God is protecting you from something down the road. You have no idea. You don't have no idea hundreds of times that may have happened. Your alarm clock was off, and now you're 10 minutes late, and you're rushing to get to work. And you're 10 minutes late for work, and you're all upset. But that 10 minutes may have saved your life. You have no idea how God blesses and how God works in those type of situations. And I think we probably all could identify. I remember just last winter, I was coming down Abbey heading this way. So I'd be heading south on Abbey, past the Dunkin' Donuts. For good reason, I was going past the Dunkin'. I was heading to the Dunkin' Donuts. That's right. That's why it's so vivid in my mind. I'm heading towards the Dunkin' Donuts. And a car, the intersection before that, this is when the roads were icy, icy, icy. And a car decides to take a left turn at the light. The light was green, take a left turn. Now, we're all going, but we're going like 30, 35, something like this. And this car just takes off. But what happens is, because it's icy, you know what it's doing? It's not going anywhere. It's going really slow. And he pulled right out in front of me. And I'm heading right to him. So to the point, literally, I am turning my wheel, because if you're ever going to hit someone, T-bone someone, you ought to hit him with your right corner. Don't hit him flush on like that. Hit him with the right corner. That could help your health there. And so I'm turning because I'm already looking at the car right where I'm going to put this right corner at that spot. I'm aiming right for it because I can't avoid him. And all of a sudden he grabbed traction, came across, and I mean, it had to be inches that I missed this car. I got through that and I said, Lord, I do not know how you did that. Thank God for it. But the question is, how many times that I've avoided accidents I'm not even aware of? And so there are so many blessings in our life. And so there's a security that comes. If I'm living wisely, God has blessed me in ways I do not even know, because God honors His Word, and God honors those who live by His Word in ways I have no idea what He's doing in my life. So there's a security in blessings like this. So our security, because we've got to hasten to the end of this. Our security is that a life lived for God will be blessed by God. If not now, then in heaven. And a lot of this alludes to that, and a lot of the Bible alludes to the idea of, in fact, for the sake of time, we won't turn to it, but if you go to Psalm 73 and read Psalm 73, the whole argument is this guy is watching the lost world make money and do well. And this guy's a saved guy, and he's like, it's not happening to me. I'm struggling. I have all the problems. They have all the supposed blessings. This doesn't seem fair. And then he said, it troubled me. It frustrated me. I wanted to complain and criticize, but then I considered, here's what he said. I considered the end. And he said, they sit and stand in slippery places. For a lost person, it doesn't matter how much money you got, you are this close to hell. And I don't say this in a mean way, but Steve Jobs died with billions of dollars in the bank. And right now, ever since his death, he has been in the torments of hell. He was in a slippery place. And so much of our blessings that we have the security in, is that if I don't see it here, God is not going to let you serve him and come up short. You're not going to go to heaven and serve God, payment due. Okay, God will guarantee you he'll bless you based on how you live for him. If not in the, on this side of heaven, definitely on that side of heaven. And so there's a security in this, that God blesses those who live for him. Now let me just get to the end of the study. Let me try to apply it one more way to help us understand the significance of this. So when we apply it this way, gaining salvation, getting saved, gaining salvation occurs in a moment, does it not? Gaining salvation occurs in a moment, does it not? Yes, you got saved instantaneously. Understanding salvation takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to figure out justification and propitiation and redemption and adoption. All of these great doctrines that apply to our salvation, you had no idea of when you got saved. You didn't understand Jesus Christ is my propitiation. I have complete justification. I am redeemed. I am sanctified. I'm adopted. You didn't understand that. Here's what you understood. You were a lost sinner headed for hell. Jesus died for you, and he would save you if you opened your heart and received him as Savior, and you said yes, and you were gloriously saved that quick. But you spend a lifetime, hopefully, trying to understand it, trying to grow in it. And so salvation gaining is in a moment. Salvation understanding takes a lifetime. Yet our security as a believer, okay, in Christ is based on doing what the Bible says. At the moment of salvation, I was secure because I did what the Bible said. Not that I understood all that the Bible said, but I did what the Bible said. That gave me security. Now that same thing applies after we're saved. Now that I'm saved, it gives me more security, not security in my salvation, but security in my life, security in my Christian life. So this same process, this idea of doing what the Bible says, not trying to understanding that I don't understand it all, but I'm doing it and trying to put things in place in my life. The same process should be the basis of our security in living for Christ. We wisely apply the Bible and trust God to do what he has promised, even when we don't understand how he will do it. This is security in that. I'm trying to live according to the Bible, not sure how all God's going to work this out, but I have a security about it. And that security gives me a calmness, it gives me confidence, it gives me courage. And I think that's why it says in 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. There's no courage there. There's no confidence there. But the righteous, people are trying to live according to the Bible. The righteous are bold as a lion. That security comes from living wisely.